phones. A whole lot of confusion up here in my home. 500 stations on the TV screen. 500 versions of the same old thing. Y'all know it's crazy. And it's driving me insane. Well, I don't wanna be a Superman. I just wanna go somewhere. Use my hand and keep it simple. I call my doctor on the telephone.
He's trying to keep it simple. He used to be Kevin Moore, a good old-fashioned name. But he changed his name to Keb Mo, just to keep it simple. This is the title track of his 2004 album, which won him a Grammy for Best Contemporary Blues Album the following year. Keb Mo, a Los Angeles-born country boy, continues to blaze a trail in contemporary blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And yes, I know you spend all weekend glued to the TV watching history being made. Well, guess what? History was not made. History was not made. You got to go back to the 14th century to find evidence of the racial crossover into the royalty. That's when history was made. But it was very nice that the two young people got married, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And we wish them the best. We wish them the best of everything, which is what newlyweds should be wished, you know, that they're so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed about everything. In about 3 months, they have their first fight, and they don't want to see each other. But really, it was a remarkable event. And carried out with brilliant precision. And what I liked about it, I watched pieces of it. I couldn't watch the whole thing. But it appeared that, for one thing, it changed that somber, dreadful kind of tone to weddings. And don't talk about funerals, but it was an upbeat feeling. Tons and tons and tons of people showed up to wish them well. Hello, Donald Trump. I know you're having a little problem with that. And really, they deserve to have a good and happy life. And I wish them the best, and I think most of us do. We want to see them embark on a life together and prosper and be happy. That's the whole point, isn't it, of getting married? Of course. I'm talking as someone who has never married and never intends to marry. I just can't understand marriage myself. I just don't get it. But speaking as one of 9 children of Claude and Gertrude Lead, but for some people it's a great thing. And it brings out the best in them. It allows them to fully blossom if the compatibility is there. And that is great. So I looked at them and they looked very happy. They looked like they were in the moment. And I wish them all the best, all the best. Let's hope they make a really good go of it. Okay, that ends the marriage. That is a wedding thing. You know, people were making this big thing. Well, you know, Meghan Markle is biracial. You know, here we go again with this stuff. Whatever she is, she isn't the first. Let's put it that way. Go back to the 14th century, and you will find remarkable evidence of African women being wedded, even in Germany, in German royalty, supposedly. But this has been going on for a long time. We just have not been told. And the climate that we were in, the whole world was in with this racial divide, it was not a healthy conversation to have. It still isn't. Because truth be told, if we were to have royalty from all over the world, all over Europe, submit to a DNA test, there'll be a lot of people flinging themselves out of windows. I can tell you that. But for this couple, I am very, very pleased at the way they seem to be in harmony with each other. And it bodes well for their future. It also is interesting that they did not go on a honeymoon right away. They went to their charity work, which is very nice, very refreshing. So maybe they have already begun to teach the geezers a thing or two. All right. So now we come to the other part of the discussion. And that concerns Mr. Trump. If you're hearing something that sounds like a model airplane, it isn't. It's just the landscapers. They always choose this time of day to mow the lawn, cut the hedges, trim the trees. Make noise in the background of my wonderful program. We were warned even before his election about unfairly judging President Donald Trump. Give the guy a break, they said. He's new on the job, and it won't be easy to drain the swamp with an entrenched system of bureaucrats and the deep state working feverishly against him. Besides, he's not a career politician. And to make good on his promises, he'll have to schmooze leaders in both parties, and he hasn't exactly endeared himself to them. But candidate Trump and new President Trump vowed to make America great again. His endless tweets avow how well he's doing. And he's doing magnificently well, if you pay attention to the missives he sends out. Incredible success with everything, he says. Huge. And there'll be more success if only his critics and other impediments to progress would get out of his way. So we were told to give him a chance. I think it's about time to ask the question. Is it still too early to judge the Trump administration? That's the question before us today. Is it still too early to judge Donald Trump, or could we start judging now? And based on what? And what would you say is the outcome of that judgment? 888-874-4888. This is a president like no other. We have seen things go on in government like we've never seen before. The thievery, the craziness, the discord, the backbiting. We've seen the investigations. But still, people are saying it's too early to judge. Give the guy a break. And then you could judge. So I'm asking you, because I think, you know, I've already come to certain judgments about this president. Let me close the speaker. I tell you, there's got to be some kind of a, a memo that has gone out. Please, if you're going to make noise, please do it exactly starting at 1 o'clock. Well, anyway. So is it too early? Lincoln, what do you say? Lincoln from New York.
Hi, good day. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, originally when I first called, I'm going to answer to Trump, but I had also wanted to respond to the wedding. That was the first thing that was on my mind before you put out the Trump thing. Can I speak on that?
Yeah, but, you know, let's get it done.
I'm going to do the Trump thing,
let's move on.
I just wanted to say, pardon?
I said, let's just move on.
Move on, Eva.
Hello?
Yes, yes. So can I just say something quickly about that and then comment on Trump?
Go ahead. Let me not deny you.
I think that, first of all, I completely disagree with the monarchy of England. And it's a waste of money because they don't serve any purpose. You have parliament and you have a prime minister. And all that money they spend on the monarchy should be directed to the poor. I believe that. And not only believe, I saw black people's response to this wedding showed that we're still suffering from the Stockholm syndrome. And it also showed how brainwashed we are, and that we are still in this Cinderella mentality. And that wedding was a further brainwashing of black people. And it makes me realize that the so-called left don't realize how brainwashed they are. Imagine these people are who are a bunch...
at another time, because it is what it is. And then we'll get into the historical significance and so forth. But I had actually started this program since last week. I decided that this is the day we're going to talk about Donald Trump. So
okay,
let's do
so
that.
Now to Trump. First of all, when I look at what he did, the move of the embassy, which would he knew that everyone should have, with any sense, should have realized that it would have instigated something, you know. And it also laid the perfect excuse, pretext for Israel to attack the Palestinians. But, you know, and then I thought about Trump's name calling of African countries, etc. And as I pondered Trump and his name calling of African countries, I thought about the killing of Patrice Lumumba by Eisenhower. I thought about the murder of Thomas Sankara of Burkina Faso. I thought about the invasion of Panama by the Bush administration, etc. And what I see Trump, and then I also thought about when during Obama's administration, the Israel killed over 2,000 Palestinians, and 2008, just as Obama had won, when he was awaiting his inauguration, they asked Obama, "What do you think about about the Israelis killing 2,000 Palestinians and also the use of white phosphorus on them?" And Obama's response was, "Oh, one president at a time." And as I think about it all, I see that Trump is just another chapter in the history of America. And when I think about what Trump said about the African nations, I see Clinton went to Africa trying to initiate the recolonization of Africa. So Trump is just a blatant expression of the American government, and all the rest are just a euphemism. Obama, Clinton, Kennedy, every one of them is just a euphemistic thing. So, but what is outraging us is that Trump is so glaringly rude, and we want to treat, we want to pretend that we are something else, and pretend that we're so-called intellectual, etc. But Trump represents what we are inwardly. We're beasts. We're animals. And we're just like the Komodo dragon America is, and will always be, and you, those European countries. So Trump is just a representation of all of them.
Okay, but in so far as that is your conclusion about the president, what do you think should happen?
I think what should happen is the fall of America, and it should continue with someone like Trump, because if they get rid of Trump, they will go back to the deceitful practice, and we so-called people will pretend that everything is okie-dokie again. And just like I hear people say that we have destroyed the democracy. What democracy? America was never a democratic country, founded on slavery, etc. And it just took various shapes of that. So,
I understand your feeling, and it's very clear what your feeling is. What I want you to do is to focus on the question. Is it still too early to come to conclusions about Donald Trump? And, well, you already answered part two, what is that opinion of Donald Trump? So thank you for getting us started today, Lincoln, very much. Thank you. Khalil from Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good. Okay, so I just have a few things here. In terms of rating this current administration, I just have a couple of categories. I'd like to start with the inauguration, only because it seemed to give some insight into his mental state. Now, I'll move a little quickly. So I give him an F on the inauguration because he clearly was showing that he's delusional. When he kept insisting that he had the largest crowd size and he never let it go. Then he went to Kinko's or someone did and had one of these poster boards made up and hung it in his office. And it clearly showed that the crowd was smaller, but yet he insisted he had the largest crowd. So, it wasn't a good look. Okay. So, and that's just the beginning. So let's move on to cabinet appointments. That's an absolute F. He has appointed people to cabinet positions that are antithetical to what they're supposed to be doing, in addition to being corrupt, just blatantly corrupt. And let me say this, Mick Mulvaney is my former representative, and I know him personally. Not in a social sense, but I see him out. And personally, he's a nice gentleman. However, he doesn't understand how representative government works. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, he actually said out loud in a venue, if you haven't given me any money, I'm not going to talk to you. So that's a problem. And that's just one. We all know these cabinet appointments. We don't have to go through them all. It's ridiculous. And he did get a good grade from me, maybe an A- to an A, on changing the national tenor in a number of ways in terms of how we talk about race, how we talk about the role of government, and some other things that have to do with the culture in America. I don't agree with it. I give him an A because he was able to do it. So, and this dovetails into something else that disturbs me greatly. And I'm an avid listener to Washington Journal in the morning on C-SPAN. I find it to be a nice opportunity to really get the pulse of America or, motivated, what seem to be motivated voters. And there are more people than there should be. I would say a statistically significant amount, or over 30-some% of the callers, say that Donald Trump may go down as the best president in history, and he's the best president ever. And some of the things that come out of these people's mouths is frightening. But that goes into our educational system. So that's how I rate Donald Trump.
What do you say so far? What do you say of this president in terms of, is he compatible with the demand of the office? Is he inspiring? Is he really doing a service to the country, for the country?
I would say no to all those questions. I would say you have to ask yourself, do you want your children to grow up to be like Donald Trump? Is he a role model? I'd say no to all those things. No.
But give him credit for doing certain things, it comes back to the fact that in the end, it results in a negative.
Yes. And really, it's honestly, it's beyond politics, because we have to go to the mental health component. I mean, aside from him being a sociopath, which he meets all the criteria, and that just simply means that he's a user, that he has the inability to be contrite, he can't apologize, and occasionally he'll be delusional. And we can see that. You don't have to interview someone. You don't have to have them fill out a form, because that's a directly observable behavior. And this is global across his personality. This is how he deals with women. This is how he deals with his businesses. This is how he deals with people on an interpersonal level. And since you brought it up, which you didn't, this thing about people talking about negative news about Donald Trump, why can't you say something nice? It really irks me, because people have lost their senses. Now, Donald Trump engages with what folks, professional folks, will call antisocial and negative behaviors on a consistent basis. Therefore, if the press is covering this administration honestly, including the president, more stories will be negative. Does that make any sense?
I'm following you.
Okay. I'm not trying to sound angry. I'm just...
No. And even if you were angry, that's okay, because that is a feeling, an evaluation of the man and his office. But it's barely into his second year. He's just approaching his second year. Would the country be better off if, for some reason or in some way, he was removed from office and somebody else put in? Or is it just now a matter of whoever comes in is going to be compared to Donald Trump? He has set a new standard, whether high or low, it's a new standard. Could anybody coming behind Donald Trump after this almost 2 years actually begin to stabilize the ship after what he has done?
I love your question, Etrice, because I think that gets to the crux of the issue. He has been expert in dismantling our government. One of the things that alarms me the most, besides packing the federal courts at a breakneck pace, is the cabinet folks. Once again, back to the cabinet. You see, it's going to take a lot of time to fully staff these positions. Remember, we have no State Department. There is no diplomacy. It's very painful, and I feel sorry for a lot of my fellow Americans who just don't see what's going on, because I feel like this is beyond politics. This has nothing to do with what political club you're with.
What do you suspect it is?
Why do I suspect it's beyond politics?
No, what do you expect it is?
Oh.
If it's beyond politics.
Okay, when I say that, what I mean is that this is larger than did your team win, did my team win, that type of thing, that, you know, that sporting type of mindset when we talk about politics, because this is the future of our country. This is where we live. This is how we govern ourselves. And he is just breaking up our mores and norms. And I'll give you a concrete example. It was pretty obvious to a lot of people that hate crimes were going to go up. A lot of different types of discriminatory crimes were going to go up when it became apparent that this man was going to be in office, because he allows folks, he gives people room who feel a certain way to express themselves without guilt. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. Maybe it needed to happen. But the problem is that I don't think that we're ready. We're not ready. Not with the dismantling of the Justice Department. here we have all these shootings of unarmed people. We still have cities that are under management. I forget the word, under, I don't know, decree. It's something that the law enforcement agencies have to
say. Emergency management?
Something, yeah, something like that with law enforcement agencies where the federal, they have federal oversight, you know, such as Baltimore, New York. I think New York had to go through it for a little while. So did L.A., you know, when the discrimination just was out of control. And, of course, Jeff Sessions already said that he is not inclined to follow up on those types of programs. In other words, he's going to keep it local. And we know what that means. That's like Reconstruction stuff. When, you know, you let the southern states handle it a certain way. And, you know, that's not good for anyone.
Well, I think you gave us a fantastic insight into just where we are and how a lot of people feel. I feel exactly the way you feel.
Wow.
And I'm wondering why we see little reaction on this level. We you know, on a case-by-case basis, he does something outrageous, react to that. He does another outrageous thing, we react to that. But we haven't really reacted in terms of taking this administration and analyzing it as a whole. What is this administration about? What has it done? What is it continuing to do? Is it good? Are these good things or bad things? Is this administration really in tune with the idea that people are looking to it to, you know, step up to the plate and be presidential? This is not this is like a gang of guys.
Yes.
You know, plotting their own little crimes. This is not an administration. This is craziness going on. But yeah. Thank you so much, Kahili, from Baltimore. Thanks for putting these things on the table. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello.
I hope you and the PRN audience are feeling well.
Thank you. Thank you. Good thoughts. Thank you for them.
Is it raining down there? Where part of Florida?
It's raining like crazy.
It's like the monsoon over here. It's like the monsoon season for the last week now.
Well, the whole East Coast is getting battered, really. It's the whole East Coast is inundated, but we proceed. So what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Is it too soon to evaluate? Is it too soon to make a judgment about Donald Trump and his administration?
Now, I think it's like from the start of the primaries when Donald Trump was telling us he wasn't keeping it a secret, that this whole thing is rigged, and it's rigged for him to look to end up looking good at the end of all of this. I agree with you. He's insane, and he shouldn't be in there. But fortunately, it's rigged for the system to be this way. When David from Brooklyn calls in and explains it all, he's right. He's right about how the rich do for the rich and the oligarchy and all this stuff. He's right about all of it, except it's 100 times worse than he's saying. And, you know, it's all rigged. Unfortunately, I think we're in for 4 years of Trump and then probably another four. And then probably in the second term, he'll have term limits changed where you could run for a third and fourth term. You know, like they do over there with Putin's in control for 20 years now. And in China now, they changed it so that guy could be president forever. And we're being manipulated. We're being manipulated like we've been for the last 4,000 years. You know,
what specifically could you point to in this Trump administration insofar as he's been in office? What could you point to as either a good thing or a bad thing that this administration is doing or has done?
hard to do that because we're not dealing with reality, in my estimation. Maybe I'm wrong and I'm living in a fantasy world myself, but, you know, I see everything is already prearranged. What I fear for the Palestinians is that they put the embassy closer and now they can do the same thing like Benghazi. They'll say some radical Palestinians attacked the embassy, killed some dignitary, United States citizens, and now
but
we have to go.
I want you to stay on topic. We're not talking about the Palestinians. We're talking about this administration and this president. What has this president
fear,
done
though,
that bolsters your your faith in the American system? What has he done that, in your mind, is destructive?
Destructive. It's a big manipulation of our minds. We're brainwashed into believing all of these things that are going on. It's hard to put a finger on one thing. It's all going according to their plan, like it's been for the last. How does 10% of population control the other 90%? And that's been going on for thousands of years. They have to drive a wedge in between the other 90%. Racism was something that was invented to drive a wedge between us because we're supposed to be on the same page with each other and together against the 10% that's ruling us in the wrong way. But we have no power because we're all separated and we're put into little pens. You know, when you go out to protest about something, they want to put you in a little pen and separate everybody. And that's what they've done to us very ingeniously. And here we stand, totally frustrated and confused because this all seems so impossible. It's hard to put a finger on one thing and say this was good, this was bad, because you don't know the results of these things yet. That are being laid out. I mean, all the people that he puts into his cabinet—it's just ridiculous. It's like watching a soap opera. You know, back in the old days, they had these soap operas when women used to stay home instead of going to work, so they could have us
but
all
what I
messed
wanted,
up.
I wanted to get something tangible from you, which is what specifically is not sitting well with you with this administration?
Specifically, I don't know. I had the same problems with the Bushes and the Clintons and the Reagan. I mean, it's all been the same stuff. So I don't see it any worse or any better. I mean, I'd much rather have Donald Trump to laugh at than to have Hillary Clinton in there. That would really be terrible for me anyway, but I just can't stand that woman to hear her voice. So just to have Trump in there instead is like a positive. So if that's the only positive thing I can come up with, at least he's there and it's not her, you know?
Well, you gave it a good try, and I admire that. So thank you so much for calling in and contributing.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Etrice. How are you? Okay. I want to get in before the lawnmower comes back. So,
they just love this program so much. They make all the noise that they could have made earlier in the day or later in the day. Just right now is the time they choose to do it. But tell me, is it too early to come to a conclusion about Donald Trump and his administration?
No, I don't think so, because I really think the longer we leave this infection in place, the more the worse it's going to get. I don't agree with the other caller either. I want to answer the question though you asked him, because there you know, there's a litany of things that I can say against Trump. And there is one good thing that I think he has done, and that is that we are not in war with Russia. And I think that was one of the big losing points when Hillary Clinton was running, was that a lot of people did understand when she was talking about a no-fly zone, what she was saying that is if a Russian airplane goes over Syria, we are going to shoot it down. And that really scared a lot of people. But it also didn't scare a lot of people because a lot of people didn't understand what a no-fly zone is and how serious it was to have somebody get on national TV and basically say that I'm threatening to go to war with Russia. I personally do not want to go to war with Russia or anybody, but especially Russia, because they are as armed to the teeth as we are. And I from looking at them, they don't seem to be angling to have a war with us. They, from what I hear with their diplomats, is, you know, we want to do everything we can to not have a war with you. So on that, that's one thing that I think that has been positive, is so far there's no war with Russia. But for pretty much everything else, it's like been a big flush down the toilet. And specifically, I think that the what he's done to the offices of the United States that are here to protect us, the EPA, the public parks, allowing to drill oil all on the East Coast here, we've accelerated the global warming in our arrogance of just pretending it doesn't exist. So on that, the atrocity what happened in Puerto Rico of basically not doing anything at all, and the arrogance that he showed and the disdain he showed towards the people of Puerto Rico, his blatant racism. I think that the fact that you know, he barely hides his racist attitudes, but I think the people, the appointments are unbelievable. I mean, I think Mnuchin is a disgusting mafioso from Wall Street. Him and his wife are disgusting. They're like Marie Antoinette and some, I don't know, bad looking clown, you know. Listening to her go on about why they're entitled to, you know, have airplane trips for $25,000 an hour because they pay more taxes than the rest of us. Well, they stole more money than the rest of us, too. And I also think it's a terrible precedent to basically have our government being run like the mafia. It actually is. I'm sure many members of this cabinet are members of the mafia. And basically that's what our government is now looking like. And I think that also, the huge amount of money, and what I can't understand right now is that when his lawyer came out and admitted that he was basically selling tickets to see the president, and that AT&T and other huge companies came out and admitted it and then said they were sorry for the mistake. Hello, it's not a mistake. It's breaking the law on both sides. Trump broke the law. Trump's lawyer broke the law. I'm sure Trump knew about it, but I'm also know that AT&T they're pretty sure they knew that you're not allowed to be paying money to have an audience with the president. And this is one of the things that I can't understand right now. This just seems to be a pretty clear-cut case of breaking the law to gain access with the president, and that no one is trying to enforce these laws right now. They're just saying, okay, you know, AT&T and these huge corporations, they made a mistake, and that's all okay. And I guess the last thing I want to say is I'm kind of with your last caller, and I'm really terrified that for years people talked about a new world order, but it looks to me like there's going to be a new world order of these dictators. And the people that Trump is the most comfortable with are other dictators. He likes the guy from the Philippines. He likes him.
Kim Jong Un.
North Korea. Yeah. These are the people that he actually does very well with. And he does very well with them because I believe that this is where he wants to end up. He would like to be a full dictator in America. And when your last caller said that he might be angling to extend term limits and get rid of them, and every other country is doing it. And it seems to me the world is getting smaller and smaller with these dictators leading the way. And I would hate to see, look, for all America's flaws, so far we haven't had a full-fledged dictator. And there are a lot of flaws.
You've given us a pretty panoramic view. I'm sure it is. You have a lot more to add to it. But it's enough to give us a sense of your analysis of what it is that this administration is. What do you think should come of this administration and this president?
Well, I mean, I personally hope that they impeach him before he goes any further. And you know, I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but it's not just him. It's what he is doing to destroy all. I'm so concerned about the environment and these other agencies that are getting taken down. I'm concerned that Gina Haspel is getting in, and that this is a woman who loves to oversee torture. She's got no problem with whatsoever. So I feel that before we really end up with a full-fledged dictator, we have an emergency here in America. I almost don't care why you get rid of him. I almost don't care. Just find a hook and hang your coat on that hook and get him out of there, because I see that I personally feel that he is extremely dangerous. Now, maybe we're not going to go to war with Russia, and, you know, that is great. I'm really happy about that, because I don't want that. But if you look at what's happening to the country, the interior of the country, and how he's destroying all these agencies and putting these crazy criminals in these offices, I don't know. I think that, you know, anything you can to remove him legally from office is what we should do. I have friends who don't think so. I have friends like the last man that just called who believe that there is a shadow government, well, I'm pretty sure there is, who basically determined that he would get in office, and they wanted a change. And so they've got, you know, lots of changes now. And, you know, but I don't really like the idea of having a shadow government. I don't think that this is the way any kind of democracy should be run. And I think if we really care about our democracy, what little bit of it's left, we should stop being so cynical and smartass about it, and we should apply ourselves to try to, you know, get rid of this infection and get somebody else in there who is, you know, capable and not crazy. This guy is, I believe he is crazy and a thug. And I think it's disgusting that somebody is able to personally make the enormous amount of money he's making. His children are despicable to me. I mean, the idea, I'm so turned off about when I see his very insecure little boys get on holding the head of some wild animal in Africa they just slaughtered because they're so damn insecure that they need to kill an animal to make themselves feel whole. I'm just, you know, I just can't stand any of it. So I think he should be out. I have friends who think that he is the only thing that's saving us from a war with Russia. But, yeah, it's a very hard call to make. But, I mean, I certainly
You've given us enough to think about, that's for sure. And we're not done with the subject. We just started today. So we have a lot more time to analyze Trump and his administration. But thank you so much, Gwen, for your overview. Claire from Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Eutrice, and hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Eutrice, I hope you are feeling well today. It's beautiful here today in Philadelphia. I wanted to say this. I think often about the situation here, and my thoughts don't any longer focus on Trump the person. He's someone who's carrying out a policy that I believe has been determined a long time ago. I see him as the ultimate destructor of this whole situation here. Ever since Reagan, we've been in decline morally, fiscally, except for brief periods in the 90s. And he is the ultimate person who I think exemplifies what this country is all about. I think the positive thing he has done, the only thing I agree with the fact that he has so far managed to avert a war with Russia. I don't know how long that's going to last. But what he's done is totally reveal the belly of the beast, totally. Now, what are we going to do about it? Here it is, people. People, don't you see you haven't seen before? Here it is. Now what are you going to do about it? And as far as moving towards fascism, we are in a state of fascist government. Every day there's something, some law that's passed to limit our freedom, to get into our personal lives, to do horrible things. This one example is the abortion issue. I've been not following it closely, but I listen when it comes on to see just how far they want to go to destroy the rights of women and their potential children. Because when the children come, who takes care of them? In many cases, nobody. So I'm saying he's showing us this is what we are. This is who we are, as far as I'm concerned. People stay home. They watch TV. I've said this before. I won't go over the same old thing. Keep supporting this system. So what he's done is shown in graphic, highlighted tones what this country is all about and has been from the very beginning. Oh, I want to say this. I think one reason that people are not willing to actually look at what's going on and understand the meaning of this current situation is because it's too frightening and too daunting to look at the history. If you start looking at this history of this country, then you realize everything is in question. And who wants to do that? But I think it's going to happen without our initiative. There are real.
Do you see a possibility of people of like minds about people like who are thinking along the lines of you and me and others, that we are caught in a trap here, it seems. We are seeing more and more of the problem. We don't like it, of course, but we don't seem to be able to do something definitive about it, like take him out of office, like take the whole administration out of office. The level of corruption and crime in offices is just unprecedented.
I know.
What do you think we can do?
I know that people are working hard to reveal the truth, and those people are being shut down. Those people are being shut out. Those people are being persecuted financially, and sometimes even physically. It's so strong, the cartels that are running this country are so strong. It might have to be, I don't know that people, and many people don't want to listen to anything that's not mainstream, and mainstream is mostly lies. Most people don't know what's going on. And when you try to tell them, as many people who are trying to tell them, they turn off. And as I said, one reason for turning off is if you know, you have to take responsibility. So I don't know. I'm confused. I've heard this. I'm so confused. Don't tell me about that. I heard the other thing, that kind of thing. And I don't see a revolution, which is necessary, and I'm not necessarily talking about an armed revolution, but it could come to that, knowing what we're dealing with here. But I don't see it possible in this country because lack of education, satisfaction with the status quo. I have people who I thought of as friends. I'm still acting that way because I can't be totally alone. Who say, well, look, I have this, I have that. I couldn't have that if I were over there, being elsewhere in the world.
Well, what I like about what you're saying today and what others have come to the same points about is that in evaluating Trump, I think we have reached the point of going beyond the person mm-hmm. and getting an appreciation for the system behind the person.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. More and more people are beginning to recognize that it isn't about Trump himself. It's a whole, and we're seeing it being exposed here and there, but it appears to be an organized system, a clique, a group,
mm-hmm.
who have control over the apparatus of government and practically all aspects of our lives. They don't have names and faces yet, but we know exactly that this is the way the country is being run. Trump has surrendered to the system, the very system he swore he was going to confront. He is mm-hmm. part of it. His whole family is part of it. So I think I get that from what you were saying, and I believe that is a brilliant point to make. We need to look less at Trump the person, although you can't ignore him, because mm-hmm. he is the person who is given the task to do. But we see more and more evidence that there is an organized system. We can't doubt it. There can be no doubt about it. There is an organized system. They have their own interests, which are not confluent with ours. They have their own plans, which, again, are not confluent with ours. And sooner or later, we will have to decide how we confront this. Thank you so much for your call today, Claire.
Thank you.
Bill from New York, you're bringing up the rear today. You don't have very much time, I'm afraid.
Yes, and I don't need very much time. But I do have a couple of things to say. And first of all, some of the callers have spoken about a fear with Russia. They should not worry about that. That's never been in the picture. Russia has never really wanted any real open warfare with the United States. They don't have the resources. There'll be proxy wars, as we see in the Middle East now. But that's a fear that people should not have. But the other thing regarding Mr. Donald J. Trump, you've always, one of the things of your motto is having clarity. And I have crystal clarity in a dispassionate way about Donald Trump, and that he is an absolute racist, an open racist, and he makes no bones about that. And that's what he's always been. I live in New York and Brooklyn. If you look at his history here, you can see that very clearly. And the other thing is that he's an authoritarian and has operated that way and will continue to do so. So it's about having clarity, my favorite word now that I've adopted from you.
It's a great word, isn't it?
It is, because it puts things into perspective in terms of where you need to be personally, in terms of what you're going to do and how you see the larger picture, and without getting all upset and, you know, jumping up and down. But it's just about having a sense of clarity about what the facts are, and then what we are going to do individually and collectively about those facts. So that's where I'm coming from.
So with this clarity, what do you see as being our lot in the near future?
I see that, well, we have what we have, and odds are that Mr. Trump will be in office for the next 2.5 years. And so that's what we have to deal with, and to be aware of all of the damage that's being done, is wreaking havoc globally and nationally as well. And I just recently came back from a trip overseas, and when I would travel, I used to have a sense of feeling some small measure of pride, as well as security in the fact of being an American. I don't have that now at all. It's a sense mm-hmm. of embarrassment and loathing to a certain extent. So, mm-hmm. but But so we have to deal with this for the next 2.5 years, and hopefully through, and I have no idea about what political forces will rise up, but there will be some. And the last thing is that there will be a revolution in a sense. I don't mean in terms of violently, but I was talking to another show that spoke about how when the so-called middle class, when those people start really, really hurting, those are historically the folks that drive revolutions. And so it doesn't come from those so-called lower class folks initially, but it starts in that middle group when they start hurting, when they go lacking. And I think we're seeing some elements of that now.
I think you're right. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Excellent, excellent analyses, I think, all the way around. And as is the case, I like to bring these things up so we have some time to chat about them. Instead of reacting in the moment when something big has happened, we just work our way toward it by seeking what? Clarity. Thank you so much for being with us today. Stay tuned. Keep it right here, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Use my hand and keep it simple.